If our special children would like to come up and sit here, I'll take a moment with you. Good morning. How are you? Good to see you. Wow. Well, it looks like it's just you and me and a whole bunch of other people out there. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard something that really helped you out? Maybe told you how to do something, or mom or dad said something that maybe protected you, or kind of, yeah, we all have had that happen. We've all heard something. And then many times we've read something that we think, oh, now I see, I get it. Or maybe you can't figure something out, or you get a new game, and sometimes we go to mom and dad and say, hey, I need some help. And then sometimes mom and dad get your game and they come to you and say, I need some help. Because sometimes it's hard to figure out. Well, that's the way things are sometimes in life. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning, about a man who read something that changed his life. And so as you grow and change, you will hear things and good things, and they're intended to help you change and be better. Okay? All right. Thank you for coming up. Thank you for being here. I'm going to invite you to take your worship folder, and if you want to go to the part there that's called Sermon Notes, I'm not the originator of what's down there, but underneath the title, it says, sometimes faith will make you look stupid until it starts to rain, Noah. He never said that. That's not from the scripture. But it's applicable. Because if ever there was a man in the Bible doing something based on faith for a long time and building a boat, and it's never rained before, I will tell you, that takes an exceptional faith in God. And your relationship and my relationship with Him is based on faith, based on believing Him and believing in Him that way. In Romans, the first chapter, beginning with verse 17, I want you to look at the scripture there. And it says, For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. It is a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Paul is writing this. And I want you to note that in the last part of that verse where Paul says, just as it is written, what he's doing, he's quoting from Habakkuk, which has been our series, the study that we're in. He's quoting the Old Testament. And he's quoting right away from Habakkuk, the second chapter, verse 4, where it says, the scripture says, see, he has puffed up, his desires are not upright. They're talking about the Babylonians that are going to come. But he said, but the righteous will live by faith. That's what Habakkuk is saying. Now, this is a key verse of Habakkuk, and it's certainly one of the most crucial verses in the Bible, because the phrase, the righteous shall live by faith, is quoted in Romans 1:17, where we just were. It's shared in Galatians 3:11 and Hebrews 10:38. And this is the text. This phrase here is the phrase that changed a man. It changed the world. Because that man was changed. And the man I'm talking about is Martin Luther. And Martin Luther, basically, you may know the story, but let me just tell you a little bit about it. At one time, he was this obscure Roman Catholic monk He went into the monastery primarily to try to figure out how he could be set free from the heavy burden of guilt that he felt because of his sin. He was obedient in that, but he found no rest for his soul. He fasted. He did all kinds of things in penance. He whipped himself. He beat himself. All these kind of things to appease God. But his eyes were opened by the Holy Spirit when he studied the epistle or the book of Romans. And as he came right there at the beginning to Romans, the first chapter, verse 17, Luther pondered the meaning of that from Habakkuk. And reflecting back on what that meant to him, this is what Luther said. He said, "When by the Spirit of God I understood these words, the just or the righteous will live by faith, I felt born again like a new man. I entered through the open doors into the very paradise of God." Because all of what he was feeling guilty about is lifted, because he was trying to earn his way. He was trying to do things in order to appease God and have the righteousness of God. So here's Habakkuk, a minor prophet. And he and God are having this conversation like I shared with you. It's a book that's different than any of the others because it's a dialogue. Habakkuk pours out his heart. God answers. And Habakkuk obviously never knew anything about Luther or the Protestant Reformation. But 600 years after Habakkuk, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, penned those words to prove that the gospel had been prophesied in the Old Testament when Paul said, "It is written." And then 1,500 years later, after Paul did that, Martin Luther encountered that same scripture where he understood the true meaning of righteousness with God through Christ. This is the verse that changed Martin Luther's life. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness, how to become righteous is shown. It's revealed. It is a righteousness that is by faith. It is by faith from first to last, as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And this first to last means that it is brought by faith, it is believed by faith, and it leads to more faith. Now, in that Romans 1, 17, I'm going to back up one verse to 16. And Paul says something there. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Think about it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God for the salvation or the saving of everyone who believes. Believes. He said, first for the Jew, because the gospel came to the Jews, then the gospel came to the rest of the world. And then, for in the gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed. Now, Paul gives us some insights about this gospel, and you can follow along in your notes. In your notes, it's titled, it says, "Why the Gospel is So Powerful." Here's number one. It reveals a righteousness that comes from God. It reveals a righteousness that comes from God. The word righteousness comes from the courtrooms of the ancient world. It means to declare not guilty and to declare someone innocent of all charges. It's wiped away. Romans talks about a debt that we owed to God, and the debt was erased. It was done away with in Christ. And if you are righteous in God's eyes through Jesus Christ, you stand before God and you're declared not guilty. Amen? It is an amen. We don't feel like that. We think we have to have certain perfection, but we'll never achieve that perfection. Even Mother Teresa didn't get the perfection right. It has to be a relationship with God through Jesus Christ by believing in who Jesus Christ is. In your notes, it says letter A, the gospel of Christ provides for us what we could never provide for ourselves. On our own merit, we stand condemned before Almighty God. Because Romans 3:23 tells us that. It said, for all have sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Letter B. It's talking about this gospel. It is what we need, but do not have it by ourselves. It's what we need, but we do not have it by ourselves. Because of that, God, knowing that we could never be righteous on our own, provided to us Jesus Christ's righteousness by way of us believing in Him or putting our faith in Him. I want to say that again. This is basic stuff. This is last Sunday I talked about just good old basic meal of fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy or whatever. Like, this is what this is. But the gospel, your salvation, your getting right with God, this is foundational. This is where it's at. God knowing that we could never be righteous on our own. We could never pay for the sin. We were born in sin because of what Adam did. He provided to us Jesus Christ's righteousness. And it comes by our way of believing in Him. And by believing in Jesus Christ, Christ's righteousness is given to us. And if you think of it like an account, most of you have it like a checking account or a savings account, and you look in the account and you see what's there, wishing for more. But in the spiritual sense, when God looks at our account and He sees you who have believed in Jesus Christ, it says full of righteousness. He sees the righteousness of Christ. We don't have any, but Jesus does, and it's given to us. We cannot earn it. We don't deserve it. We can't buy it. We can't steal it. We can't duplicate it. It's an all or nothing deal with God. It is a free gift from God, and that free gift comes entirely from Him. There was a man by the name of Edward Mote, M-O-T-E. Pretty much unknown man. He was born in London in 1797. I don't know much about his life. I know a little bit about what he did from research. But he was listening to a preacher by the name of J. Hyatt. And in the preaching, Mote got a hold of something. He got a hold of the gospel and began to understand it. And a spiritual change happened in his life. And he gave his life to Christ. He became a Baptist minister. And he did some writing. And he wrote these words. And maybe someday somebody will put music to it, but let me share these words to you. They go like this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and what? And righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood, which we just shared in communion, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is my hope and stay. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in righteousness alone. Listen, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You can go home now. The second reason the gospel is so powerful, there in your notes, is that the righteousness from God is received only by faith. It's received only by faith. And the key word here is faith. Romans 1:17 says that righteousness is received by faith from first to last. And I shared with you a little bit what that means. First to last means coming from faith and leading to faith, which arouses more faith. It is from first to last, from start to finish. Letter A. Everyone who is saved the same way. We bring no merit to the table. Now, at the risk of being accused of advertising my son's business, let me go ahead. My son, Ben, has a business. It's called Kraft Electric. And from time to time, he'll employ particularly young people. One of them right now, he's got his just graduated from high school a year ago. They come with no electrical experience. Now, they're not going to go out by themselves and do your job. But Ben tells them this. They come with no electrical experience. Okay? And he tells them this. He said, you come, you want a job, you bring nothing to the table. You know, they're not a journeyman, nothing. But the one thing he said you bring that'll make all the difference is hustle. Is hustle. You get on the job and you work. When we encounter Jesus Christ, we bring nothing to the table. No merit, nothing. It matters to God not one bit who you are, what you are, who your parents are, what your education is. What matters, the one thing we bring, is our heart, our giving of ourselves in belief to Jesus Christ. That's all we bring. That's it. It almost sounds too simple, because it is. Letter B, it is faith, and faith always in Jesus Christ. It is faith alone and faith always in Jesus Christ. So how can I get right with God? How can I settle accounts with God? You can't. On your own. It gets all settled by faith, by believing in Jesus Christ, and His righteousness becomes your righteousness. Because we need this. Because we're all in the same boat. The Bible says in that Romans 3:22, He says, there is no difference, Paul said. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely. We are made right freely by His grace through Jesus Christ. And note that little phrase that Paul put in there when he said, there is no difference. There's no difference between rich and poor. There's no difference between young and old. There's no difference between race. I know in the scriptures in Genesis, the first part there where the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And that's when He made Germans. I understand that. There's no difference between male and female in receiving Jesus Christ, because we all stand condemned by our sin, born in sin, and all of us are under the same judgment of God, and our salvation is found in Him, Jesus, and Him alone. Now, the third reason the gospel is so powerful is that by the righteousness through the gospel, we are declared righteous. We've already established that. By the righteousness through the gospel, we are declared righteous in the eyes of God. We've all heard the expression, there's no free lunch. Meaning somewhere, somehow, it's got to be paid for. That's true. But what we all know, or should know, is that our sin debt is paid for. We didn't do it. All we brought to the table was faith in Jesus Christ. He paid the debt. We don't owe it. Because the righteousness of God is imputed to us. And that word impute, let me just kind of stretch it out like saltwater taffy. The righteousness of God is chalked up to us. It is credited to us. It is assigned to us. It is given to us. It is ascribed to the believer. It is yours. And it's by faith alone. By faith alone, not by works. Not by obedience to some church. Not by human righteousness. Faith alone. It is not by baptism. It is not by good intentions. It is not by Holy Communion. It is faith alone. It is not by acts of charity. It is faith alone. It is plus nothing. It is minus nothing. It is faith in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to have faith? Faith alone in this sense. If you know what it means to believe a doctor when they say you need surgery, you know what it means to have faith. If you know what it means to get on an airplane and trusting your safety to the captain, knowing full well that when you're in the air, he cannot pull over and stop and fix something, you know what it means to have faith. In the bottom of your notes, here's a working definition of faith. Faith is complete reliance upon another person to do that which you could never do for yourself. Faith is our reliance on Jesus Christ to do what we could never do for ourselves. That's why we can say of Jesus, he's my one defense. He's my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Say with me, my one defense. My righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Would you stand with me, please? My one defense. My righteousness. Oh God. Well, Father God, you have given the entire world the opportunity of salvation. And oh, when it comes home and we begin to understand just a little bit of it, we begin to grasp the what if. What if I don't know him? What if I don't believe in him? And then we do. And we begin to realize that he becomes our defense and he is our righteousness. As Edward Moore wrote, faultless to stand before the throne. Amen.
In me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and save. Lord, I need you. Oh,
we come before you with humble hearts and admit our need for you. If it weren't for you, none of us would be here. We just thank you for the sacrifice you made for us, for being the righteousness, and for your blood that covered our sins and saved us. We just can't thank you enough. If there's someone here today, Lord, who doesn't know you, I pray that they would just come forward and talk to someone. We can pray with them. May you just draw all men to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to close with a very familiar song.
Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad.
Thank you for being here today.